Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to church this Lord's Day evening, and I trust we'll be blessed in our worship and our fellowship together. And we know from the promise of God's word that we have his presence with us too when we come to worship him. We're going to stand and sing as an opening praise tonight. Number 51, please. Number 51. The minister is speaking on a series through the Beatitudes. We come tonight to the Beatitude, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And from the outset of our service, we want to have a right vision of our God. And of course, we need to have a right heart with our God when we come to worship him. And that thought is brought together in this lovely and famous and well-known hymn. So let's stand and sing it through. "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart." So there we have that view of God. And is our heart in tune with God as we stand to sing our opening praise? Number 51. The psalmist says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord?" In other words, who may come into the presence of God? And he answers, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart." And we have to have that relationship with the Lord. But thankfully, we know, we have to admit, we have to confess, we could never do it or earn it by ourselves. But in his love and his grace, he cleanses our hearts and makes us acceptable. So a couple of pieces with that thought in mind, starting with number 94, please. Just remaining seated. And we're going to sing number 94, verses 1 and 4. That's the first verse and the last verse, singing of his love. "Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true, out of the heart of the Father above, streaming to me and to you. Wonderful love dwells in the heart of the Father above." And that love was brought to us by the Lord Jesus. And if we're to be his, we must ask him into our hearts. So verse 4, "Come to my heart, O thou wonderful love, come and abide." Verse 1 and verse 4, number 94.
Come, let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true.
Number 914, please. 914. We've sung of his love. This reminds us of his grace, his unmerited favour to us. Only by grace can we enter. We only come to him by grace. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavour, but by the blood of the Lamb. 914. We don't sing this one so often, but we have sung it before. So trust us, we sing it through the once this evening. We'll all refresh our memories of this lovely piece, Only by Grace. It's the offer of God's love, it's the work of God's grace that cleanses our heart, it's the work of the Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, converts us, stays within us to help us live a Christian life. Number 500, please. He helps to create that new spirit and that pure heart within us. Number 500 is a lovely piece on that theme. Let's sing a couple of verses from it this evening. Sorry, number 500. We're going to sing together the first verse, O Holy Spirit, breathe on me. And we're going to sing the third verse, O Holy Spirit, make me new. Make Jesus real to me. Give me his purity. O Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Verse 1 and verse 3, please. Let's sing together tonight number 108. Now, this is one that the group sometimes play when they're contributing to the service, but I'm not sure if we've actually sung it together. We may have. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. But I trust you can read the screens tonight. Sometimes the print's a little small, and sometimes in the brightness of the sun, it makes the screens look pale by comparison. But here's one that we're going to try together tonight, because it fits with this theme of having a clean or a pure heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Wash me, cleanse me, purify me, make my heart as white as snow. We'll sing it through two times so that we can familiarize ourselves with it, especially if you've never sung it before. Once more, let's sing it once more, and then we'll all know it well.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me.
So let's conclude this short time of praise by singing a familiar one, number 67, returning to that thought of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, coming within us, and changing our lives, purifying our hearts. We'll stand and we'll sing all four verses of this lovely hymn. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Let's sing all four verses, standing to sing.
I love it the way all hymns and readings and sermon themes come together, and I always choose the hymns as closely as I can, and those pieces that Ronnie chose tonight have tied in very well. And even that, a new one, Creating Me a Clean Heart from Psalm 51, I'll be quoting that. But I also quoted from Psalm 24, which we're going to read. And this is the reading, the background to the sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And just to read this 24th Psalm, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come into your presence this Sunday evening hour, we thank you for the stillness and the quietness of your house. And we pray, Lord, that our minds and hearts will be at peace and will be calm. Our minds can be cluttered with so much. We can be thinking ahead of ourselves. We can be thinking of things that we have to see to this week, and maybe appointments, and all different kinds of things. And we can be easily distracted from concentrating and focusing upon you. And as 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, we are to give the Lord our attention. We are to attend upon the Lord without distraction, because we can be distracted. We can be distracted by friendships and by hobbies and by work even, all different kinds of things. Lord, help us to give you 100% attention tonight. And Lord, you have spoken to our hearts, and as we will consider this great beatitude tonight, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord, if we are to see you, then we must have a pure heart. Let this challenge us. And so we pray that you will minister to us tonight. We read from your word that you search our hearts. How this was the words of the psalmist: search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And so, Lord, may you search our hearts this night, we pray. And where do we all stand with you? And so be with us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now I give you a very warm welcome to church tonight, and let me leave you with the following announcements. And do seek to attend these things where they apply to you. The meeting of the Pathfinders, the young people I suppose that cuts a lot of people out. Maybe it's the wrong thing to say. The Pathfinders at 8 o'clock tonight for their monthly time together. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, the prayer meeting and the Bible study. And then we look forward to Saturday, to the wedding here in the church of Lisa Thompson and Russell McBride at 12:30. And so we do pray for them and wish them God's blessing in the coming days. Next Sunday at 10:15, the Sunday School and Bible class, I will speak at the morning service, our time of prayer at 6:10. And then our April outreach service, the last Sunday in the month. And we enjoy these times. It's an opportunity to invite someone else along. It's an opportunity for others to take part in some small way. If I ask you to open in prayer, if I ask you to do a Bible reading or something like that. And coming along to give us testimony will be Mr. Bobby Brown, the General Secretary of the Belfast City Mission. And so we look forward to Bobby's visit. That's how he spells Bobby, actually, B-O-B-I. That's not a spelling mistake on my part. That's just the way he has always spelt his name. And after that service, there will be then a cup of tea and a biscuit in the back hall here. On Wednesday week, the 1st of May, that is the Good Company meeting, but it's the Good Company outing. And a bus has been booked, and we'll be leaving the church here at 9:30, travelling to Dobby's, just outside Lisburn, the garden centre there, and you can have a cup of tea and a scone and just a good exploring Dobby's. It's a big complex, and then up into the town for lunch and so on, and then we should be back here at the church somewhere between 3 and 3:30. So I hope there's a good response. There's a sheet on the vestibule table, and if you're going, would you please put your name down. Now, these are all the announcements, and they're all made in the will of God. We'll now bring our offerings to the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are just one of many places this hour that's meeting across the country to sing your praises and to preach the word, and we pray indeed that we shall know much blessing. It has gone 7 o'clock now, and we know that there are other services that are just starting about now, especially in the city. And we pray that you will bless, Lord, your word that is preached this day. As many listen to it, we pray indeed that many will be helped heavenward, that many shall be convicted of their sin by the Holy Spirit, will come to Christ. As one has said, this is the first day of the rest of my life. And what's it going to be from this day onwards? Are there going to be changes? Am I still going to just carry on the way I am? Or will I seek God and come to know Him and be ready for eternity? Whenever that time comes for me to leave this world, then I will be ready to meet God. And so, Lord, challenge our hearts with all of these things, we pray. Since last we met, Lord, things have happened even in the world, again, that has caused great fear in people. We think of the happenings in Boston on Monday, the Boston Marathon. I'm sure the furthest thing from people's minds was a terrorist attack. They were just focused on the runners and relatives who were running, the different charities that were represented. And yet there was death and bloodshed and serious injury. Oh God, we do pray for all of these things that are going on. Pray that they will be used to speak to people of the frailty of life and how quickly life can change or can end. And Lord, there is no one else to turn to but you. You're the one and true God. And so, Lord, speak in these days right across the world, we pray. So be with us now, Father, and bless your word to your hearts. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Another hymn about the heart, number 495. Charles Wesley's hymn, O for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me.
Thank you.
So the sixth beatitude is in Matthew 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall receive, for they shall see God. I think this is going to take over about two Sunday nights. Just going to look at the first part tonight, blessed are the pure in heart. And then in 3 weeks' time, with the outreach service next week, and then I'm not here on the 5th of May. DV will pick this up in 3 weeks' time again. For they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in this vile world of sin in which we live in, it must be possible to have such a heart. It must be possible to live with such a heart. Or Jesus would not have said these words. And the challenge to us tonight, is my heart like this? Is my heart a pure heart? Now, of course, what do we mean by heart? It means that it is that which radically governs not only our emotions, but our thoughts, desires, motives, ambitions, affections, will, words, and actions. The heart stands for the entire personality, the whole man. It is that which makes a person what he is. The Bible can talk about the emotions of the heart. Psalm 16 and verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My heart is glad. We can think about the understanding. John 12 and verse 40. Lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart. It can be applied to reason. Matthew 9 verse 4, the Lord Jesus said, why do you think evil in your hearts? It can be applied to the conscience. Acts 2 and verse 37, after Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost, there were some who didn't like what he said. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Mark chapter 7 tells us that it is out of the heart from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. So the heart means you, means me. How we live, how others see that we live. A person might be described as kind-hearted, cold-hearted, hard-hearted, soft-hearted. We use these expressions all the time to describe people's actions. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And just two things to see in this beatitude. We see here, I suppose, all of those things could be wrapped up, and we're talking about a sincere heart. And we're just going to consider that tonight, and then a sight of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does that mean? Do we see God in this life? When Jesus said, no one shall see God at any time. Now, what does that mean? For they shall see God. And I think that deserves another night. Not to rush through words like that. And I like what John Blanchard has said. the modern writer John Blanchard, he says, what Jesus is telling us in the Beatitudes is that God is a spiritual cardiologist. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the well-known words, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Now, as God looks on our hearts just now, as he's always looking on our hearts, what kind of a heart does he see? Does he see a worldly heart? Does he see a disobedient, rebellious, hostile heart? Does he see a lustful heart? Or does he see the heart that Jesus is talking about here? Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, what does that mean, the pure in heart? And again, this has been suggested. The pure in heart is a heart with undivided affections, sincerity, and genuineness, godly simplicity, purity of desires, motives, intents. It is one in which the fear of the Lord has been implanted and the love of God shed abroad, and therefore it hates what he hates and loves what he loves. The purer the heart be, the more conscious it becomes of and the more it grieves over indwelling filth. A pure heart is one which makes conscience of foul thoughts, vile imaginations, and evil desires. It is one that mourns over pride and discontent, unbelief and coldness of affection, and weeps in secret over unholiness. Are we beginning to see now this kind of heart that Jesus talked about here? A sincere heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're talking here, we're under the umbrella of holiness and sanctification. Holiness and sanctification, those two words basically mean separation. There were vessels even, and we're not just talking about people, we're talking about vessels in the tabernacle and the temple and so on, that were sanctified. They were set apart for a sacred use. And that's all that they were used for. Just to be used within the service of God. But holiness and sanctification can be applied to people. To be holy. We are separated to be a holy people. A Christian is saved, and from that moment, that person is holy. Now we will grow in holiness, and we will come to a better understanding of holiness. But we are to be holy in an unholy world. We are to be godly in a godless world. Holy. Those who are pure in heart will be continually mortifying sin. Now we have considered that in the past, and let's just remind ourselves of that. That word mortify, in the Authorized Version, it appears only twice in the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, you mortify. That's what the word mortify means, to put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And Colossians 3 and verse 5. Mortify, therefore, or put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming in judgment. I just finished this morning in McQuaid time, Professor Donald MacLeod, his book, A Faith to Live By. He's the retired professor of the Free Church of Scotland in Edinburgh, the college there. And A Faith to Live By is just looking at everything that a Christian believes and just all the great doctrines of the faith and so on. But his chapter on holiness, it's worth buying the book for even that chapter on holiness. And he says, you know, being the scholar that he is, when Paul says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You put to death. It's not just thumping or tapping a sin on the head until it's dead. The picture he builds up of it is, if you murder sin, if you club it and batter it to death, then you will live. Now, can you picture what we have to do with sin? We have not to play about with sin. It's not a wee puppy, cuddly dog. Sin is subtle. Sin is vicious. Sin is dragging you to hell. And if you want a pure heart, you have to club it and batter it to death, because it's hard to kill at times. A particular sin might be hard to kill at times, and you keep on battering it and battering it until you're maybe exhausted battering it. And it's still alive. But you just keep on battering it until it's dead. He says this, yet it is never something we do on our own. Because it says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We have help. Yet it is never something we do on our own. We do it as those who are led by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit who leads this great death squad as it goes about its business of searching for sins and clubbing them to death. We are terribly deluded if we imagine that we are being led by the Spirit while at the same time we are cavorting with sin. Being led by the Spirit means we are at war with sin. And not only with the grosser and more carnal and more obvious sins, but with the inward sins of envy, pride, malice, hypocrisy, and self-righteousness. We are at war with everything that leads us to feel superior to others, and with all that tempts us to walk by on the other side when we stumble on the lost and the wayward. We need the Spirit of God to take us into those areas of self-knowledge where we are up against the truth about ourselves, face to face with our own guilt and our own failure. If we do not live at that interface, then God's Spirit is not dealing with us at all. We must ask God, Lord, show me myself. Give me your view of me. And when he shows us something he finds obnoxious, we have to act as executioners and bludgeon it to death. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, if you want to have a pure heart, you'll have to fight for it. And once you get it, and once you know that you have it, you'll have to keep fighting for it to maintain it. Heart work is hard work. Heart work is hard work. And so I hope that you can see that the Christian life is not for wimps. These Beatitudes, you know, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart. It's hard work. 24/7. Your enemy never rests. God commands us unequivocally to work away at the great business of mortification. Mortifying sin, putting to death sin. When you kill off one sin, another sin will raise up its ugly head. He quotes from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says, "The church is not a clinic, but a parade ground. What we all need is not a doctor, but a sergeant major shouting out commands. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Stand up and do your exercises. Practice your self-denial. Get on with this business of sanctification. God doesn't allow us to sit in bed taking our own spiritual pulse and saying that we're not very well spiritually. He tells us to get up and do something about it. To take our medicine, eat our food, do our exercises, get on with washing our robes and purifying ourselves. The holy men of the past were holy because they wanted to be. They worked at it." What have we learned from Philippians chapter 2 that we're doing in the midweek and I preached on here? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Blessed are the pure in heart. You can have a pure heart in this world, but you have to fight for it. Because by nature, we don't have pure hearts. We have impure hearts. By nature, we don't have pure hearts. We have polluted hearts. Hearts that can so easily sin. And to swim against the world's tide is hard work. But we have the Spirit's help. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Blessed are the pure in heart. And the next time we'll come to this second part, for they shall see God. I just think there's too much material again to rush it. But just to close off with some scriptures, there's that Psalm 24 that we read, verses 3 to 6. We can see the communion of the heart. Surely to have a pure heart means to have communion with God. Verses 3 to 6. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. The clean hands and the pure heart go together. The clean hands is talking about the outward. The pure heart is talking about the inward. The clean hands is talking about the actions. The pure heart is talking about the motives for the actions. He who has clean hands and a pure heart will ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. That's the conditions to be near God. Who shall ascend? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. The communion of the heart. And we sang that lovely piece, number 108 here. Psalm 51 and verse 10 speaks about the cleansing of the heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, a couple of years ago, we did over about three Sunday nights or so, Psalm 51, and we looked at that, a clean heart. Again, in this vile world with so much uncleanness, it is possible to have a clean heart. It is possible to live with a pure heart. So we can talk about the communion of the heart and the cleansing of the heart. And verse 17 of Psalm 51 talks about the contrition of the heart. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. A broken and contrite heart. And before you have to get a pure heart, it has to be a broken and a contrite heart. Before God, you cannot create that yourself. You cannot have that yourself. You need the help of God. So we can talk about the pure in heart, the communion of the heart, and the cleansing of the heart, and the contrition of the heart. And from Psalm 119, verse 11, we can think about the contemplation of the heart. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And I love that verse of Psalm 119. I think it encourages Bible reading, reading of the Bible. Oh, you know something, if you read your Bible conscientiously every day, you build up in your mind scriptures, and it is... it is stored up there, and it so easily comes to your mind at times when you need it. The contemplation of the heart, I have stored up your word in my heart. These are helps that we need to have and to maintain a pure heart. Reading the Bible every day, reading good Christian books alongside your Bible that will feed your soul. And those times of fellowship with other Christians, coming out to church twice on a Sunday, coming to the prayer meeting, meeting around the Lord's table. These are all helps towards maintaining a pure heart. Blessed. You know, the Beatitudes, and we've learned this from a Latin word, beatus, blessed, happy. Happy are the pure in heart. And what a prospect we have here. For they shall see God. And in the will of God, we'll consider this part of this particular beatitude. But let me just close off by saying this. Are we all aware of the besetting sins in our hearts? Are we all aware of those? And you know, all of these things, it's not just for men, but for women as well. All the list of things that come from our hearts, it's for men and women. We have to be killing these things. We have to be murdering them. We have to be battering them to death. If you want to have a pure heart, and if you want to see God, we have to deal ruthlessly with sin. Ruthlessly. We have to have no mercy towards any sin. No matter how innocent it may seem, there is no such a thing as an innocent sin. Sin is sin. God hates all sin. Any sin, whether it's looked upon from a human point of view, as not so bad as other sins, but that seemingly innocent sin could take you to hell as much as a more gross sin. They've all to be dealt with in the same manner. They have to be put to death. I know there's no sinless perfection in this life. But we have to get close to it as we can. A pure heart. Not going out of your way to sin. Not deliberately sinning. As Donald MacLeod has said, that we are terribly deluded if we imagine that we are being led by the Spirit while at the same time we are cavorting with sin. We have to fight for our purity. We are at war for our purity. Let's see more evidence of that in our lives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And may the Lord bless this beatitude. Challenge us with this beatitude tonight. And we'll sing number 320. 320, I'll praise my Maker while I've breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers. My days of praise shall ne'er be past. While life and thought and being last, or immortality endures. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Amen.